Hello, this is the No Wellness Wankery podcast where we discuss all things wellness and help you spot the wankery because it is peppered throughout. My name is Jenna DePeace and I'm joined by my co-host Lindy.
Hi, I'm Lindy Goen, nutritionist, dietitian and hater of all wellness wankery. And today we've got a bit of a FAQ, something that often comes up, especially if you've been a yo-yo dieter, you've tried lots of things in your life. What is it?
Yes. So Lindy has a Keep It Real program and it has an amazing online community where people ask questions and they support each other. And a really common question that came through once again, and we want to have a little chat about it. The question is, does anyone find themselves thinking about food 24/7? I spend so much brain power and energy thinking about it, what to eat, what not to eat, whether I should or shouldn't be eating, and it can be all consuming. I'm really struggling to break the habit of constant food thoughts. Any tips?
This is so relatable, and I think anyone who's ever been on a diet is going to have their hands up going, I relate to this. I certainly did when I was in my dieting years. One of the side effects of diets is that they lead to food obsession. So you find that your brain constantly keeps coming back to food. It's a very interesting study, the Minnesota Starvation Study. You've probably heard of it before, but this is conducted during, I think it was 1945, so end of World War II, and it would not pass ethics these days. I mean, the way that they did this, basically what they did is they recruited a whole bunch of university students, men, and they put them in a basement kind of setting, basically. And, well, actually, no, I don't know if it was a basement setting. They recruited a whole bunch of university men and they put them on a starvation diet. What does that basically mean? It just means like low calories. The equivalent calories today for a woman is a 1200 calorie diet. Huh, very related.
Funny that we've heard that number before.
Yeah, it's so funny. So you think about, okay, well, the typical diet, weight loss diet is actually a starvation diet, according to like 1945 times. Anyway, they put these men on the starvation diet, restricting them on what they could eat. And they were trying to measure how does the body and the mind respond to these starvation kind of climate. And what they found was most startling. Not only did the men lose weight as you kind of imagine and have kind of reductions and all those things, but they had extreme food obsession. In fact, these men couldn't stop thinking, talking, reading about food. They wanted to look through recipes. They wanted to talk to their mates about food. They would dream about food. Every single thought kept coming back to food. And so this very interesting thing that this study really highlights is how when we are in a semi-starved state, our brain is going to be preoccupied by what we are and aren't allowed to eat. Now you might say to me, well, I do eat enough. In fact, I feel like I eat too much. Why does this still happen to me? So there's two things to consider. One, there's physical satisfaction. Are you getting enough calories? That can kind of create a sense. If you're not getting enough calories, that's going to create a sense of starvation. But the other thing that can create this sense of starvation or not enoughism is when you are emotionally depriving yourself. So if every time you're eating, you're like, oh, this is bad. I shouldn't be eating this. You're building up on that guilt. You've got all these food rules that are percolating in your brain, all the things that you're not allowed to eat. You're always feeling emotionally restricted by what you're eating, even if you are physically eating it. Even if you are physically eating enough food, it can still be enough to trigger your brain into thinking, I have to keep thinking about these things.
Even if you're eating the things that you think you're not allowed to eat.
Yeah.
Because you're telling yourself you're not allowed to eat them.
Yeah. So for example, like if you have ice cream and you spend the whole time going, I shouldn't eat this, or you go, I shouldn't have eaten that. That was really bad. I need to make up for it. It really negates some of the satisfaction that you're going to have as a result of having eaten that. Especially if you're like, well, as soon as I have ice cream or something indulgent, it marks the start of a new diet. You can imagine how your brain's going to constantly be coming back to it. So as long as you have a sense of emotional restriction, even if there is no physical restriction, chances are you're going to feel that you're obsessed with food and what you're eating. The food obsession thing is also can be a bit of a pattern in the brain. So let's say you've spent your whole life being obsessed with food. It's something
that's just you're used to thinking about it.
You're used to thinking about it. And so it becomes your default pattern. It might be default conversations where you have with your friends because they're equally obsessed with food and you know this is a safe thing you can talk about. Or when you lie in bed at night, this is kind of that time that you always reserve for going through what you ate. So ate that day. So we do want to try and interrupt some of these patterns that you currently have. And so when you notice a food thought, you can go, okay, that's a food thought. And something you can try to do is actively decide to change the channel in your brain, like a radio. We've talked about that before. But a very important thing to do is just checking how many food rules you still have in your brain and identifying whether or not you still feel guilty about the foods that you're eating, whether or not you have abundance of these rules telling you, you're not allowed to have sugar, you're not allowed to have fat, you're not allowed to have all these things. Of course, you're going to be obsessed because you have that emotional restriction going on. Another thing that contributes, or I'm going on a whole tangent, is let's say you're on Instagram and 80% of the content you follow is nutrition, health, wellness content. Yes, that is going to influence your brain. You're going to think those are the most important things. What we want to be seeing is that you have multi-interests in your life, that there are other things that your brain can actually take on board, whether it's, you know, following things that your hobbies that you're interested in, or like a book club or whatever it is going to be. But checking your media. So most people these days, I did a poll recently with millennials and I asked a whole bunch of friends. I was like, tell me how many hours you spend on social media each day. Or on your phones, because whether you're reading the news, that's also going to help. It's going to influence your brain. And typically it was around between 2 to 6 hours on average every single day is how much time people are spending on their phones, and at least an hour on social media each day. So it used to be that you are a product of who you spend the most time with. These days, it's much more accurate to say you are a product of who you follow and who you subscribe to and what you read online. So just think about as well, how much free time are you allowing to be taken up by thoughts around food and thinking around calories or tracking things in an app or weighing yourself and all the different things that we do. And if you feel like you're doing things like body checking and you feel like this does feel like an obsession, maybe it is an obsession. Maybe having a professional to help guide you into removing this obsession is going to be really helpful. That could look like a psychologist, a counselor, a psychiatrist, a non-diet dietitian, a GP who's holistic and really gets it. I really think that's useful in having someone who's going to support you to end your food obsession, because you don't have to live your life being controlled by food thoughts.
You absolutely do not. Because I feel like even when I was constantly thinking about food, this is when you don't really have time for hobbies, because you're working, you're seeing your friends, and then it just overtakes your whole brain and it's all you can think about. Whereas when you step back, all these new great things can have space to enter your life.
Sure, your life stays so small when every single thought comes back to food. When I was in university, would have been about 18, 19 years old, I found this friendship group that was kind of like the kind of friendship group you only see on like a Hallmark movie. I was like, I didn't know those kinds of friendships could exist. So you had this girl gang of us and we got along so well. We were all studying nutrition and dietetics. And one day we had a group chat where it was decided, apparently unanimously, that we weren't allowed to talk about food anymore. And it's part of the chat that decided that we talk about food enough during university, and between us as friends, we don't also need to talk about food. And on reflection,
that sounds amazing.
Well, it was amazing. But on reflection, I think about, well, probably what was happening is I was in my eating disorder days and I was obsessively talking about food and I was triggering others to not feel amazing about food and, you know, changing the energy of the group. And the group decided that this was a food-free zone. And I think it was a really big part of me recovering, because I actually had a space where it wasn't something I could fall back on, where I had to be a more diverse and interesting creature than simply the calories I consumed. And I wonder if there's, you know, something you could learn from doing this in your life, creating more food-free zones where either there are relationships in your life where you go, you know what, every time I see that person, we always chat about how much we're eating and how much weight we've lost. Maybe we just, you know, either have a chat to that person like my friends did with me. We temporarily pull back for just like a little moment while we recover. And you could explain to them, you know, it's not good for my mental health when we have these conversations. But creating more pockets, whether it's on social media, where food is not something that gets free rein, I think that's useful.
I love that. Sometimes it's all about curating whoever you follow on your feed. Because if you're following people that all they're talking about is even recipes or cooking, or if you're all the same things, it's going to be like all consuming.
Yeah, less food. You know, like less food chat. I think that's going to be really useful. And I think I've missed this one point that I think is really important. So we talked about this idea of the starvation study and how interesting that was and emotional restriction. But what I haven't tackled is the fact that many people aren't eating enough, especially if you are coming from diet land where you're like, oh, I'm allowed to have carbohydrates. You're probably dreaming about carbohydrates. You're probably dreaming of the very thing you're not allowed to have. Or if you come from like that calorie controlled land, you're like, well, I start my morning with like a really light breakfast. I eat a good breakfast, which is code for low calorie, let's be honest. And then you get to lunch, you're like, I'm going to have a salad. I'm so pure and good. But by the time you get to like lunchtime, you haven't eaten enough food. So it's of course your brain's going to keep coming back to food. Then you probably get into the afternoon, you eat the entire pantry, you lie in bed at night feeling obsessed about how you got this whole thing wrong. What you fundamentally didn't do right was eat enough. You didn't eat enough during the day and you didn't eat enough of that satisfying food. And I think we really need to rectify that. So yes, the solution to reducing our obsession with food, yes, giving ourselves permission, making sure we're eating enough and changing the echo chamber around us so that we can be so much more than the food we eat.
I love this. If you think food obsession or something is something you need to work through, Lindy has a program called Keep It Real, which really focuses on helping people who have that obsessive thoughts around food and maybe need some more help.
Yeah. And I think what's really cool about Keep It Real is I'm very much in that program with you. I'm responding to everyone's questions with personalized support. And I really go in, I really help. I'm really like a big sister there helping you out because I've been there and I really want the best for you. So it's a bit of hand holding, which is what I think you need in these early phases as you get free from food obsession. And of course you can use the code podcast to get 20% off Keep It Real when you check out on the website.
Amazing. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any more questions you'd like to send through, nude_nutritionist is where you can send them all through and we'd love to answer them for you.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Does binge eating feel like your dirty secret? And are you sick of trying to be good, but falling off the bandwagon and losing control around food? If so, I can help. Binge Free Academy teaches you how to beat binge eating and feel in control around food, giving you doable, evidence-based strategies. You'll get lifetime access to 30 practical step-by-step video lessons, 12 group coaching calls with me, and become part of my Binge Free Academy community for life. As a recovered binge eater, I get it. I know there's no quick fix or one-stop shop for binge eating. And so that's why I want to give you the ongoing support and care you need and deserve. And I'm so confident it will help you that I'm offering you a 30-day money-back guarantee. So no risk, all reward. You can take control over your food and your life. And I think it's the best investment you'll ever make towards reclaiming your life, your health, and your happiness. To learn more about Binge Free Academy, you can click the link in the show notes or go to lindycohen.com/binge-free-academy.